Before we come this morning to the table of our Lord and partake by faith of his crucified body and shed blood, we turn to a meditation in the scriptures as found in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16. The last verse of chapter 5 of Song of Solomon. We'll read now chapter 5, Song of Solomon, remembering only this, that we have here the conversation, the poetic conversation between Solomon and his wife, the Shunammite woman. But above that, we have taught us the blessed relationship between Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride, between Christ and us. And I'll mention, as we read, who is the person that is speaking. That's important to follow that. So beginning in chapter 5, we have the groom, Solomon, or Christ speaking to his church in the first verse. I'm come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends. Drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. The bride responds, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, tell ye him that I am sick of love, or I faint with desire. Verse 9 is the response of the daughters of Jerusalem to Solomon's bride. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And now we have the bride's response. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is as a bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. May God give us the spirit to understand his word. We read the text one more time, verse 16. His mouth, or literally his words, are most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. You are listening in verse 16 to the tribute of love that the Church of Jesus Christ gives to Jesus before the whole world. The bride here of Solomon is speaking in response to the inquiry of the daughters of Jerusalem in verse 9 when they asked her, "What is there so special about your beloved one?" In the chapter, we read that it was the bridegroom, Christ, who had come to his garden, the church, Solomon to his wife, who was in a garden. And his wife, in a cottage in that garden, had grown lethargic and indifferent. And he comes to that garden and to the cottage and calls her to open the door, and he would come in with fellowship. But she says to him, to herself really, "I have put off my garments and bathed my feet. I don't want to get up. She reflects the sin of apathy, cold indifference to spiritual life in Christ. When at last, because his words called to her and woke her, when at last she did get up, he was gone. The cost of our indifference to Jesus Christ is the loss of his felt presence with us. Frantically, Solomon's wife rushes out of the cottage and out of the garden to seek him, to find him. She runs into the city and comes into contact with the watchmen of the city, the sentinels, who are making their rounds around Jerusalem. And they see her alone, perhaps at night, and they beat her, and they shame her, and tear away her veil. She becomes more frantic. She comes near hysteria. And she runs into the daughters of Jerusalem, a group of women in Jerusalem, and she puts them under an oath that if they know where her husband is, that they will tell her, because she is fainting with desire for him. These women, sensing that she truly longs for him and that she cannot bear to be separated from him, they ask her, "What is there so special about your beloved that you so urgently charge us that you have to find him?" As I said, she gives the answer. Verses 10 through 16, the summary of which is, "He is altogether lovely to me." Jesus Christ is altogether lovely to us. She's answering the question as a repentant sinner. She's answering the question as a sinner who really knows, not intellectually, yes, but in the soul, that she had squandered by her sins and neglect fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She's answering as one who knows that she has repaid him as he has loved her with her own indifference and her own way. But now, as a repentant sinner, she sees everything she ever wanted in Jesus. The grace of repentance are the glasses to see Jesus. The beauty of Jesus Christ today and any day can only be known through the tears of repentance. Not some other eye salve, but those tears of the Holy Spirit of repentance. To the complacent, to those who are proud, to those whose heart is set upon themselves, upon the world, to the lustful, to those who are ensnared in lust, duped by sin, bitter, they do not see and cannot see anything in Jesus Christ that's any different than any other beloved. They would say, You love Jesus. We love booze. We love sex. We love money. We love art, sports, Allah, myself. But to one repentant sinner, just one, Jesus is altogether lovely. I call your attention that he is altogether lovely. To a repentant sinner, Solomon's wife is saying that everything about Jesus, he is altogether lovely. Everything that is reflected of Jesus in the table of the Lord is lovely. From verses 10 through 16, she has given 10 points of description of her beloved, of Christ. 10 points of his, all figuring on him, his head, his locks or his hair, his eyes, his cheeks, his lips, his hands, his belly, his legs, his countenance. Now, I'm not going to attempt to explain all of those different things, but to point out to you that the intention of the Holy Spirit is to show that Jesus Christ in every way is qualified to undertake his role as the husband of the church, as your husband spiritually, as the Savior of the church. That he is, in the words of Colossians 1, verse 19, for the Father, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell for us. In Jesus is everything that we need and that is lovely. We sang, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. He is lovely, that is desirable. Everything in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, is desirable. Everything worthy of love and confidence and trust is found in Jesus Christ. There are no shortcomings in him. When the bride says he's altogether lovely, he means my description of him that I've been laboring to give to you has come short with all that he possesses. Everything you could ever want, everything that you could ever need, is to be found in Jesus Christ. The repentant sinner, seeing the leprosy of their own self, sees in Jesus everything we need. This is how he appears to us at the Lord's table. In the Lord's table, we are to look upon him physically, in all the beauty and loveliness of God. For the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his beauty, his glory, as the only begotten of the Father. The bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper stand for the body and blood of Jesus and tell us that Jesus Christ was made flesh, the Son of God, that he could bear for us in his humiliation our awful sins. But it tells us more that he is also now glorified in heaven, that he is the bread of life, he is the wine of life, he is the sovereign, perfected Savior who from heaven will enter into us as we eat and drink by faith, and he will strengthen us with that new life in Christ. His loveliness to us is not only to contemplate that he was born in the flesh and in the blood and died in the flesh and blood and nourishes us now spiritually, but his loveliness is also spiritual, as by repentance we see him. He possesses what we need: forgiveness, justification before God. The bread will be broken. The wine will be poured out to testify by that, that his body was actually broken on the cross and his blood was shed for all our sins. And still more, when he gives to you that bread and wine to eat and to drink, He says, I possess resurrection life. I in you and you in me. He has in himself life and we live through him. Jesus Christ is altogether lovely as we see him in the Lord's Supper and eat and drink. But there was one thing that was especially lovely to the bride about her Solomon. One thing lovely to the church about our Jesus. The last thing she says in verse 16 to describe him is, his words are most sweet. More than anything else, this is what caused the bride to love Solomon. This more than anything impressed on her his loveliness. She said in verse 6, my soul failed when he spake. The deepest effects upon her heart were produced when he spake to her. It was his voice to her that finally roused her out of her dullness, out of her sin. It was his voice that got her moving again to seek him. The doctrine here is the doctrine of the efficacious saving call of Jesus Christ. It is the most beautiful thing that we know about Jesus, how he speaks to us. When the Pharisees sent soldiers to capture him, they returned empty-handed with this excuse: no man spake like this man. His voice in the gospel, through the scriptures, when the Holy Spirit is in your heart and in my heart, his voice is a living voice. It touches our souls. And under that voice of Jesus, our hearts melt in repentance and in the knowledge of him. And to that voice, we are given the assurance when he speaks to us through the scriptures. His voice gives us comfort and guidance and hope. He must speak to me. Not to lose the point now, but I want to bring this application to husbands. Not losing your train of thought, but if it's the voice of Jesus Christ that so soothes, so comforts, so assures, so calls that church to him, if that's true of Jesus Christ, then husbands, your words to your wife in her trials and sins and struggles, your words to her must be the words of comfort, guidance, expression of your love for her. For so it is with our Jesus. Through his word, yes, the Bible, yes, the preaching, but spiritually now, by his grace, do you hear him? The word that goes to your soul? Son, your sins are forgiven you. Daughter, hath no man condemned thee? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Passing through the veil of death, I am he that liveth, that was dead, and liveth, and am alive forevermore. Passing through the storms of life, my daughter will not talk to me. my son strays, facing the difficulties that you have today, he speaks, peace, be still. It is I. He is altogether lovely when he speaks to us. But for us to hear his voice and to see that he is lovely, there must be a real relationship with him, a real covenant, a real salvation by grace. The husband was so dear to Solomon's wife because she could also go on to say about him, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend," verse 16. Apart from grace, Jesus Christ is not lovely. Jesus Christ is not our beloved. Jesus Christ is not our friend. Isaiah 53, verse 2b, "He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." For us to say that he is lovely means that the Holy Spirit must work that love in us by his mighty grace, but he must do that personally. He must do that personally by showing us our sin, bringing us out of the slough of our sin and to repentance. But without that relationship of his grace in our hearts, Jesus Christ is not lovely to the human eye. He's not lovely at the table either. A crucified body you're going to partake of? Your Savior was nailed to a tree? What is beautiful about Jesus? They find nothing beautiful. And the glorified Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes at last, in all of his power and sovereignty, they will not find him lovely. They will find him a terror. And they will call for the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of him who sits upon the throne. There must be a relationship of grace for Jesus to be lovely. That relationship is described in two ways. This is my beloved. This is my friend. As beloved, the church is saying we love him. And now the emphasis in those words, my beloved, are not on his love to us, but in our love for him. 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. His love for us is implanting into us a love for him by his grace. She is saying, I love him with an exclusive love. I love my Savior as a wife loves her husband and not another, because he is my rightful husband. She is saying, and we are saying, not simply, I know him. I've been taught by him. I know the story of his life. I know what Jesus wants. She's not talking that way. She's saying, I love him. I'm bound to him. I want more and more to walk in holiness with him. I cling to him. Children, do you know that you love Jesus in a way that the angels can't? Angels love him. Angels adore him. Angels marvel over Jesus and they talk about him. But we love him as a forgiven sinner. Angels have not sinned. We, the church, you, little children, love him the way the woman loved him, who washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair and kissed his feet. John says in 1 John, in the church, the love of God is perfected. And at the table of the Lord, that love for him goes. A love even that angels cannot express. The love of a repentant sinner. He is my beloved, and he is my friend. The word friend there reveals that Jesus, or Solomon the husband, opens to his wife. Jesus opens to us his secrets. It talks about fellowship. Jesus said to us in John 15, I call you not servants, but friends. For the servant does not know what his Lord doeth. But all things that my Father has showed me, I show you. As a friend, he is our friend. He's our prophet, our priest, and our king, who reveals to us God's redemption. As a friend, friend closer than a brother, our true friend, the faithful Lord Jesus, at this table, he tells us his secrets about you and me. Did you know, he says, that my death was planned by the Father from eternity in his heart? Did you know that those sins that go on in your mind, that you struggle with this past week, you couldn't get them out of your mind? Did you know that I knew those sins on the cross and I paid for them? Did you know last week that when you were distraught and you could not go on, it was I who sustained you and kept you? He comes to tell us his secrets. This is our confession. This is our tribute. He is altogether lovely. This is the tribute that the church in glory certainly renders at the feet of Jesus at this moment when they worship before the throne right now. The glorified church is worshiping, and we too before the throne, and they are saying, he is altogether lovely. Worthy is the Lamb, is what they say. This is the worship that the church persecuted around the world is giving to Jesus right now. To the church that is beaten and bloody for his name and imprisoned. For the church imprisoned and perhaps being asked the question, is it worth it for you, really? Is it really worth it for you to lose 6 children, to lose your job, to lose your liberty, and now be imprisoned for the sake of Jesus Christ? And that's going on right now in the world. It's happening right now for his sake. And the church is answering, yes. He is altogether lovely to me. This is the worship that is required and that we give as Georgetown Protestant Reformed Church at the Lord's table. You want to know why he is lovely? Then come. Come to the table of the Lord by faith. Come as the repentant sinner who says, I feel so foolish that I took him for granted. The Lord's Supper is personal. It is my beloved. It is my friend. I eat the bread and it enters my stomach. I drink the wine and it enters into my bloodstream and warms me. I hear him speak. in these elements. I hear him speak in the gospel preached this morning. His words are most sweet. He says, I have given my body to be broken and my blood to be shed for you. I am your Savior. I am your Lord. I am your husband. Do you not hear him in that moment of silence when we take the bread and the wine? When he says, the guilt of your sin, your murder, your hate, your adultery, your pride is forgiven you. When he says, the agony of your heart and seeing a wayward son and daughter, I will soothe. When you see the sorrow of death and the waves of death coming upon you, I will be with you. So, what is there about your beloved more than any other beloved, O thou fairest among women? That's a legitimate question that the daughters of Jerusalem put to the church back there and now the world puts to us today. What is there so precious to you about Jesus Christ? The world will say, we have husbands, we have beloved, and we are married to them. Booze, sex, money, self, possessions, this world. And you say no to our husbands. And you run away from their embrace. And you say you want only your beloved Jesus. Well, will you tell us, what is there more about him than any other beloved? And we answer, for 1,000 lifetimes to be able to tell you, and for 10,000 angels to be able to sing to you of him, why, look here at this table if you have eyes. He laid down his life for me. He burned in my hell. He lay in my grave, he paid my debt. He loved me and gave himself for me. He is altogether lovely to me. So be it as we eat and drink in faith. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt seal the word in the sacrament. In Jesus' name, amen.